Hey, I'm Pastor Doug Gaunt, and Pastor Micah Gaunt's dad is my I don't know, my identity here in Nebraska, and especially here. But Pastor, you know that Pastor Bonine is with his family this weekend celebrating a baptism for their new granddaughter. And so we want to include that in our prayers and especially their travels back to Ravenna. So with those things in mind, I will mention, too, that we will be having an adult Bible class after the service today, and so we encourage you to come and be a part of that as well. So with those things in mind, let's begin by singing hymn number 904, Blessed Jesus at Your Word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. My heart is sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, promise your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce God's grace to all of you. In the place of and by the command of my Lord Jesus, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast off forever. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Arise for our help and redeem us. Of old, you drove out the nations with your hand, but you planted our fathers because you favored them. You have saved us from our enemies and have put to shame those who hate us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high. Peace, goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Thou that takest away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Thou that sittest at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy upon us. For thou only art holy, thou only art the Lord, thou only, O Christ, with the Holy Ghost, art most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have sown your holy word among us. Prepare our hearts by your Holy Spirit that we may diligently and reverently hear your word, keep it in good hearts, and bring forth fruit with patience. Do not let our hearts incline to sin, but subdue them by your power, and in all the persecutions, comfort us with your grace and continual help. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. An Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, make it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace, like the mountains and the hills before you, and shall break forth into singing. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let the nations know that your name alone is the Lord. Make the living dust like the chaff before the wind. An epistle lesson from 2 Corinthians chapters 11 and 12. For you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. For you bear it even if someone makes slaves of you, or devours you, or takes advantage of you, or puts on airs, or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I'm talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day, and I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, in danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who was made to fall? And I am not indignant. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God said, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he who is blessed forever knows that I'm not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in a wall and escaped his hands. I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body. I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." This is the word of the Lord. We rise to sing. Oh God, you have cast us off. You have broken us down. You have been displeased. Oh, restore us again. You have made the earth tremble. You have broken in it. Heal its breaches for its shaking, that your beloved may be delivered. Save with your right hand and hear me. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 8th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. And when a great crowd was gathering and the people from the town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. He said these things. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Well, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the one on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but have no root. They believe for a while and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess our common faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. Though the road ahead be thorny, though the dark clouds all light obscure, though my cross-shaped path grows steeper, with the Lord I am secure. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I got to say, it's always great to come back and be with you all. You know, the times that we spent together during the vacancy before Pastor Bonine was called here, those were joyful times. Those were always good memories. So it's great to be back with you today. You know, I chose the hymn that we sang because of that final verse, and especially where it talks about the road ahead be thorny. Thorny. Because I wanted to talk to you today about what I call thorny theology. There's a lot of thorny theology in the Bible. Thorns, thistles, briars. Those are mentioned some 75 times in the Scriptures. All three of today's text, I don't know if you noticed it, but they all three mention thorns. Each reading has a unique theological lesson. It's a kind of a variety that all comes together to give a thorny theology. So in today's Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 55, God promises that his word would not fail to create faith. That God would promise that in the final judgment, the thorns and the briars that do represent the suffering that we endure in this life will be gone, and that they will be replaced by cypress trees and myrtle trees, beautiful trees in the Garden of Eden. In the gospel lesson, a familiar lesson for all of us, Jesus said that the seed that was sown among the thorns represented the people who heard the word and had faith for a while, but their obsession with possessions and the pleasures of this world would choke the life right out of them. So in one lesson, the thorns represent the hardships, and in the other, they represent sinful pleasures. But both readings warn us about these spiritual thorns. Now, when we think of thorns, we usually think of something that would be on a rose bush or something, you know, something kind of small and that. But, you know, there are long thorns, and we'll talk about that in regard to the thorns that were in Jesus, the crown that Jesus wore on the cross. But along with that, the word that Paul uses for thorns here is actually a word that is oftentimes used for something like a tent stake or even a pole that they would impale someone on. It was deadly. The primary text, though, for this message is 2 Corinthians 12:7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. So here, the thorn has a positive purpose. In Paul's thorny theology, he melds the two meanings together. In Paul's thorny theology, he teaches how to live with and even use the hardships that we endure as Christians on earth to glorify God in heaven. Paul's thorn in the flesh, it represents the satanic hardships that he faced in his ministry. But then God, in his power and grace and mercy, used Paul's thorn, Paul's hardships, for a good purpose. And that's what God wants to teach us today. How to, as we go through life and suffer all kinds of hardships and issues, how we can kind of roll with that and then even use it for a positive purpose. Now, there's a couple questions that oftentimes come to mind. You know, for one, you know, why was he even writing about this in the first place? And the fact is that Paul, who had loved the Corinthian church, he had spent much time in the Corinthian church and then left. And then as soon as he left, there were some people who came in who Paul in chapter 5 call these super apostles. And these super apostles were claiming that Paul's teaching was false, that Paul was weak mentally, physically, and spiritually. They tried to twist everything that Paul taught, everything that he wrote to them. So what ends up happening is Paul is writing 2 Corinthians because he wants to come back and he wants to set the record straight, not because he's so concerned about himself, but because he's concerned about the gospel. These super apostles who were claiming a different gospel and who were putting down Paul were weakening their faith, were coming between them and God, and Paul could not bear that. And so he writes this letter to kind of set the stage to get them prepared. And then he waits a little while longer before he goes back to minister to them. He wrote to restore his reputation, but he didn't want to say it in a way that sounded like he was boasting about himself. And so that's why he kind of goes into this, all kinds of gymnastics, of verbal gymnastics to say, you know, I don't want to say these things, but I've got to say these things. I've got to set the record straight. These people are misrepresenting me, and they're misrepresenting the gospel. And they wanted to undermine Paul. And so he wrote this to restore his reputation. He seems like he's boasting about himself, but he keeps hedging on it. When he talks about this idea of this person who was taken into the third heaven, now the third heaven, for those of any of us who have ever been on an airplane, we know that we have an idea of what that's like. The first heaven is in the clouds. The second heaven is in the stars and the planets and the like. The third heaven is heaven itself. And so what he's saying is, and what most theologians, even though he tries to keep this anonymous because he's trying to be humble, is that God, in preparing him 14 years before to do the kind of ministry that he was going to be called to do, needed to be prepared. He needed to have some special strength. And he had never told anyone this story before this. This is the first time he brings it up because it was intended to humble him and not to be used as something that he would try to exalt himself with. And so that's why he's so careful the way he says this. But he was the one, most theologians agree on this, that he was the one who was with the Lord in heaven, and he saw these wonderful visions, and that prepared him for the ministry that he would be facing later on. And so as he writes this, he wrote in order to kind of set the record straight, and then he talks about this thorn in the flesh. And so that's another question we have. What's this thorn in the flesh? There are a lot of different theories on that too. There are some who think that it was an eye condition that Paul had, because in Galatians he talks about how he's writing this in his own hand. Usually he had someone who would inscribe these letters for him while he dictated to them. He's saying this was important. He's writing it with his own hand. And the reason it's such big letters is because of this eye condition that he had. And so some people think that that might have been the thorn that he was talking about. On the other hand, we heard in today's lesson all that he had suffered. The beatings, the stoning, it was just one thing after another. And surely that kind of abuse probably left some scars and some lingering injuries that just wouldn't go away. I tend to believe that those were what he was referring to when he talks about his thorn in the flesh. But he's intentionally vague here, I think. And that's important because in that way, when Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh, then we can all relate to what he's saying. Because we all have a variety of thorns in the flesh. We all have physical maladies and weaknesses that we wish would go away, that we may pray that the Lord would take away over and over again, and yet they don't go away. I think he was intentionally vague so that we could all relate to what he's saying. I'm going to give you a minor example. I'll ask you, you know, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but is there anybody here who has back problems? I do. I've had it for 40 years. It all started when I was on Vicarage in Artesia, New Mexico. I was, you know, lifting weights, and all of a sudden my back went out, and it was excruciating. And so luckily I was blessed. They had a chiropractor there who kind of put things in position. But from that time on, I had dealt with that on and off, sometimes months between episodes, sometimes weeks, sometimes days. And I oftentimes wondered, I wonder if this, you know, because sometimes people will, you know, talk about a thorn in the side, a thorn in the flesh, and you know, it's right there in my side. And I think, I wonder if that was what Paul went through when he was beaten, and that somehow put his back out of place, and that he was never able to get that restored. That might have been his thorn in the flesh. Don't know. But I could relate to that. In the same way that you can relate to it with anything that you happen to go through that is some physical malady or health concern. And our son, Micah, at that time was only 8 years old. Nate was 4. We got back in St. Charles, and then, St. Charles, and then later, We were in other areas where I was able to find good chiropractors. And in fact, that's the reason our second son, Nathan, is a successful chiropractor today. So I look back on all of that and I think, you know, I can see how God used those things, used that to accomplish a great good. But then, as minor as that may be compared to what Paul went through, and as minor as our son's career may be to the millions of people who came to faith because of Paul's proclamation, because of Paul and his ministry in spite of his thorn in the flesh. Now, he calls it a messenger of Satan. That's significant. I like to hearken back to the book of Job. You know, Job was probably the first book written, long before Moses wrote the Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy. And the very first thing that the book of Job deals with is the way that we interact with God, and how God interacts with us, and how Satan tries to undermine God at every point. In the very first chapter, God is in the heavens. Satan shows up, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job, how faithful he is?" And Satan says, "The only reason Job is so faithful is because you have set a hedge around him to protect him." And God says, "Okay, I will let you afflict Job by afflicting his possessions, his livestock, and his family, but you can't touch Job." And so he does. And Job's children are together in a house when a tornado happens, and they all die, and then some marauders come and take all of his livestock, and Job was heartbroken over that. His wife survived and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" But he was still faithful. And so in the second chapter, Satan comes back and he says, "The only reason that Job remained faithful under those afflictions is because you did not let me afflict him." And so God says, "Okay, you can afflict Job, but you can't kill him." And so then the rest of the book talks about how after those severe afflictions, how he talks with his friends and comes to talk with God, and then be reconciled with God over all of this. And so what's happening there is we see how God uses Satan. You see, Satan is like a circular saw. A circular saw will go round and round and round, and if you put anything in front of it, it will tear it up and destroy it. That's all Satan can do, is lie and cheat and tear and destroy. He's like that saw. But if you put a circular saw in the hands of a skilled craftsman, and he sets limits and boundaries on what it cuts and where it cuts and puts things together, he can build beautiful furniture and houses and all kinds of things. This is the way it is with God. There are limits that God sets, and God uses Satan. And so when Paul calls this a thorn in the side, a messenger of Satan, it's Satan who is causing this affliction, but it is God who is permitting it and setting limits on it and using that to further the gospel. And that's God's promise to all of us. Now, you look at all that Paul went through, all the beatings, all those hardships, and all of those open doors for him, and they helped him to be able to speak and be heard. Countless Christians have suffered severely for their faith. Very few have suffered what Paul suffered. And the good that came from the minor pain that he went through, that I went through with my, cannot compare to the millions of people who are in heaven because of Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul calls us to recognize our thorns in our own flesh, to recognize those as messengers of Satan, but then to use those to be able to be messengers for the Lord. With that in mind, I'm going to give you, I'm kind of a big acronym guy. I like acronyms. I have a bracelet that says FOCUS, and that's to focus on Christ's undeserved salvation. An acronym for this message is the word THORN. T stands for teaches us. God uses these things to teach us who he is, who we are, and who Jesus is, and all that Jesus endured for us through his death on the cross. The H stands for humility, or it humbles us. It humbles us because we know that we are not great, just like Paul was so humble that he refused to boast about himself. The O stands for orient us. It orients us so we are facing the Lord when we face these hardships, and we do so with prayer and confidence. And then we help one another as they deal with their thorns in the flesh too. The R is that it reminds us. It reminds us of how Jesus died for us, all that he suffered for us. And the N is that he numbs us so that he is near to us, so that we can endure the hardships and not be so devastated by the pain that we endure because we have been numbed, not to a point of not being able to serve, but to be able to serve. St. Paul's thorny theology teaches us how to live with and even use the hardships we endure as Christians. And that brings me to the last point. When we talk about thorny theology, we have to think about Jesus hanging on the cross. Nails in his hands and his feet, pulling on those things, dying of suffocation and a broken heart, but also of that thorny crown. Those long thorns that pierced his skull, that drew his blood. That was excruciating as well. And yet Jesus endured that for you and for me. There's a stark contrast between Jesus' crown of thorns and the jeweled crowns that were worn by worldly kings and princes. His thorny crown is a good reminder of the thorny theology that his suffering portrays for us. It is a reminder of what Jesus endured for us. Amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise now to sing the offertory, Create in Me a Clean Heart.
Clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a high free spirit.
Speaking of thorns in the flesh, included in our prayers today, we're going to be praying for Denny Boucher, who broke his hip recently and is recovering from that, along with all the other announcements that are in your bulletin. And so we pray. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your thorny theology. We thank you for the way that you use our suffering to do great things, and how your love that sustains us from day to day gives evidence of your power and your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the suffering that he endured when he was nailed to a cross with a thorny crown pressed into his bloody skull. We praise you for delivering Jesus and Paul through the horrendous suffering that each endured. Teach us to trust with St. Paul that your grace is sufficient for us and your power is made perfect in our weakness. Forgive us for the times when we boast in ourselves and not in your Son. Forgive us for the times that we complain about our suffering. May the power of Christ rest upon us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and holy sacraments, enduring suffering and making us perfect in love. Grant wisdom and heavenly grace to President Harrison, President Snow, and to Pastor Kiefner, and to all the pastors who hold office in your church, that by their devoted service, faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Preserve our nation in justice and honor, that we may lead lives of integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and the Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, and to all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Take from us all hatred and prejudice, and give us the spirit of love, and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world. Protect and defend those who protect and defend us, especially our law enforcement officers and our first responders. Also, we be with those who serve in our nation's armed forces, especially Todd, Angela, Jacob, Madison, and Kyle, that they may serve safely with honor and integrity, and that we may lead quiet and peaceful lives in all goodness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the gift of human life. Look with favorably upon the expectant mothers, especially Justine, Journey, and Kirsten. Grant that throughout their pregnancies, that both mother and child may be kept safe from harm and danger, that you may be glorified in the giving of life. And we pray that those babies will be brought to the waters of holy baptism and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, eternal life, and the Holy Spirit in that sacrament. We pray that you will bless, Pastor Bonine and his family as they celebrate that sacrament today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, our times are in your hands. Look with favor on Tatum and Doris, who celebrate their birthdays this week. Strengthen their trust in your goodness and bless them with your abiding love all the days of their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Father, we give thanks for the gift of marriage. We especially remember Bill and Francis, David and Jean, Kelly and Jamie, Randy and Deb as they celebrate the gift of marriage this week. Assist them by your grace that with true fidelity and steadfast love, they may continue to keep their promises during these anniversaries and grow in love toward you and love for each other through every joy and sorrow shared, every hardship that they endure. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who suffer from Satan's thorns due to illness or infirmity. We remember our shut-ins and our homebound for Eldine, Janine, Audrey, Bev, Benny, Leonora, Fanil, Margaret, and Lois. We also pray for those who are suffering from thorns and have asked for our prayers for Linda, Isabel, Stacy, Dwayne, Nick, Karen, Lena, Denny, and Mark, and those whom we name in our hearts. Be their comfort and strength. Relieve their pain. Guard them from all danger and restore them to the health that only you can give by your gracious will, here in time or hereafter in eternity. And most certainly grant them the full assurance of your love for them in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet
and
right to him.
And it is meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy God, Holy Lord, for the gift that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, and his suffering and death, and now through the body and the blood that was endured that pain and suffering for us that we receive in this sacrament. And so we pray that you will continue to strengthen us in our faith and love and trust in you as we evermore, as we praise you and sing.
Oh, holy, oh, holy, Holy Lord God of
the Lord be with you.
With Lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
And so, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.